अनादिमान् नाहं ममेति भवोयम् नाहं ममेति भावोयम् पुरुषे व्यवधीयते पुरुषे व्यवधीयते यावत् बुद्धि मनोक्षार्थ यावत् बुद्धि मनोक्षार्थ गुणव्यूहो हि अनादिमा गुणव्यूहो हि अनादिमा नाहं ममेति भावोयम् पुरुषे व्यवधीयते यावत् बुद्धि मनोक्षार्थ गुणव्यूहो हि अनादिमा Now, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As long as there exists the subtle material body composed of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects and the reactions of the material qualities, the consciousness of false identification and its relative objective, the gross body exists as well. Purport. The desires in the subtle body of mind, intelligence and ego cannot be fulfilled without a gross body composed of the material elements earth, water, air, fire and ether. When the gross material body is not manifest, the living entity cannot factually act in the modes of material nature. In this verse, it is clearly explained that the subtle activities of the mind and intelligence continue due to the suffering and enjoyment of the living entity, subtle body. The consciousness of material identification, such as I and mine, still continues because such consciousness has been extant from time immemorial. However, when one transforms to the spiritual world by virtue of understanding Krishna consciousness, the actions and reactions of both gross and subtle bodies no longer bother the spirit soul. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Hare Krishna. So, Narad Muni continues to speak to King Prachinibhari about the reactions of our perceptions based upon experience through the gross body and the subtle body, and in due course accepting more material bodies. And as Prabhupada translates that the relative objectives, because depending upon one's body, depending upon different situations, that particular object becomes most important for the living entity. Therefore, when the senses are interacting with the sense object by the influence of the mind, intelligence and ego, he naturally desires to acquire that object because of the surrounding. And when the surrounding is changed, either by the change of the material body or by the change of our external surrounding, that material object may have the value or may not have the value. Just like when you are in the Himalayan mountains, hot water is a very much necessity. You always desire, if I can get one bucket of hot water. But that same hot water when you come to a city like Bombay, it does not become any more requirement. But unfortunate condition is that the subtle body is already impressed within the consciousness, this is the need. So that stays there in the stock of the mind. And when we come here, even though we reject on a gross platform, on the platform of this body, we desire something else depending upon the need of the particular situation. So similarly, after we quit this material body, depending upon what kind of body we acquire, either human or animal, if our situations are changed, then the need of the previous bodies are not aspired by the living entity, but the impressions are there. Therefore, the Shastras recommend what we are supposed to aspire, because all these aspirations which are relative and have no value are going to give us a new body, either we accept or reject it. Just like there is a story of Vibhishan. When Vibhishan was appointed as king by Lord Ramachandra, because Lanka is filled with gold, there is only one metal in Lanka, that is gold. There is no other metal in Lanka. So this Bharat, the brother of Lord Ramachandra, he offered one needle to King Vibhishan. It was a special needle, but it was made of iron. So he gave it to Vibhishan, and Vibhishan cherished that small needle which was given by Bharat, and he considered that to be the most important item which he had in his life. Even speaking materially, because only gold was available, when something is abundantly available, it loses its value. Whatever it is, because we have scarcity of gold, naturally gold is very prominent. Just like in Rajasthan, there was a time, there was no water. So the members of families, they would give their daughters, considering if there is well close to the house of the husband, because that became the most important thing. But now in Bombay, nobody cares, for they don't find husband based upon does he have well close to their place or not, because it is not such a necessity. So similarly, even from the material point of view, that needle was a very valuable item in the treasury of Vibhishan. And Vibhishan, as you know, every time he goes to offer worship, he comes to earthly planet, he comes to south to offer worship to Lord Ranganath, he goes to sometime to Jagannath Puri also. So he would always carry beautiful flowers from Lanka in his tokri, flower basket. And that flower basket would be big size based upon his size. So when he came to south to offer worship to the Lord, he went inside the temple, he offered all the flowers. Meanwhile, one Brahman, he hid inside the basket of Vibhishan. And it was carried back to Lanka. When the basket was opened, Vibhishan saw there was a Brahman sitting. He was very pleased. He was so pleased with that Brahman, he said, I want to offer you some gift. And then he gave him a nice gift. And when this Brahman was so happy, he went back to his home. And when he opened his box, he saw that needle. So, for Vibhishan, it was very valuable. But for that Brahman, who was very poor, he was expecting some gold. But what did he find? He found that small needle. So therefore, we understand, this is how the relative objective of this material world, cause sometime that same item very, very important or valuable, and when there is a change of situation, that same item becomes useless. Therefore, we can say in the material world, the present civilization has created in such a way that at some point of time it is valuable. Use means what? It is valuable. Throw means what? You don't have any value. It is based upon this conception only. Too much of you know, oscillation between value and not valuable. So therefore, but then they don't realize that when they fall into this trap, you are being very practical. Use it when it is required, throw it when it is not required. You are accumulating so many bodies. Where, because the impressions do not go, the subtle body creates this strong impression, and we keep falling in this cycle of using a material body and quitting it, again using it, again quitting it. So this cycle is unending. So therefore, Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada explains, it is so important to understand. And once we understand the principle of Krishna consciousness, then we don't fall into this trap of using and throwing. Because we know that this will lead for me to accepting another material body. The whole psychology, the culture of Vedas is what? There is no question of use and throw. The whole culture of Vedas is that leading towards ultimate emancipation. You don't use something and you don't throw something. You know, it is the utility continues to be there. So that ultimately we can attain our perfection. So in Krishna consciousness, when Narad Muni, we see Narad Muni is explaining a very complex philosophy to Prachini Bharishit. Why is he explaining very complex philosophy? Because his mind is very complex. Because of engaged in so many kinds of ritualistic activities, in so many ways, he needs to hear this complex philosophy. Otherwise, same Narad Muni, when he preached to that greatest sinner Mrigari, he didn't speak any philosophy. Mahaprabhu does not speak how Narad Muni convinced him. According to his need, according to his, you know, sinful background, Narad Muni gave him very simple process. In fact, one devotee was mentioning when Narad Muni was preaching to Valmiki Muni, when he was a hunter, whom was he worshipping? Valmiki Muni was worshipping indirectly the god of death. He was killing so many people. So he was always conscious of the principle of death. So Narad Muni told him, "You chant Ram." But he said, "I can't." It was difficult for him to pronounce the name of Lord Ram. He said, "Okay, because your worshipable Lord is not Ram, your worshipable Lord is Mara. So you chant the names of Mara. That will be easy for you." So depending upon his conditioning, the solution was given, which was nothing but the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. So when Valmiki started chanting Mara, 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 usually it became Ram and he got salvation. He didn't speak much philosophy. But with Prachini Bharishit, because his mind was so complex, he's asking, how is that what we did in this gross body, why should we suffer in the next body? What kind of connection is this? Srila Prabhupada explains that he had one professor in his college. And he would always ridicule the Hindu students. He said, "What kind of logic is this? This karma, and it works so, there is no logic in it. What you have done in this lifetime, you have to suffer in the next lifetime. That means your God is cruel. That means your God does not know how to offer punishment." And Prabhupada would say, "I knew the answer for this question. But because the professor was there, as an etiquette, I would not answer." Of course, Srila Prabhupada answered all the descendants of that professors the right answer, and he gave the process of Krishna consciousness also. So same thing was raised by Prachini Bharishi. That how is that what I have done in this lifetime, why should I suffer in the next lifetime? Therefore Narad Muni brings. He said that because the subtle body is the cause and the gross body is only the instrument. So naturally you may think that the gross body is suffering or enjoying, but it is not. It is the subtle body based upon the previous reactions. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the gross condition, experiences are pursued through the memory and the body itself on the gross level. But on the subtle level, how do you perceive the reactions of our previous activities on the mental level, on the level of the mind, on the level of the imagination and dreams? So therefore, you can imagine all of our imaginations, all of our dreams is the perception of our activities pursued through the subtle body, and it is unending, it is going on so long. And at the same time, because we have the gross body also, we continue to pursue that through the remembrance and actual physical activities. And to destroy both of these is not a small job. To destroy both of these, the experiences of the gross body and the experience of the subtle body, no other process. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, when we take to Krishna consciousness, then what happens? The Krishna consciousness activities, even in this very lifetime, when we have the gross and subtle body, even if we have that, it will free us from the reactions and actions of the gross and subtle body. One can transcend by practicing devotional service. And when we practice devotional service, it is not like any other process. You don't only clean your consciousness, you go beyond that. It is not only purity, it is much beyond that. Even sometime purity and renunciation can be a contamination. We have discussed this many times. Even being in the tapaloka is a contamination, because yes, tapasya is very much required to purify our consciousness, but purification is not the goal. Beyond purification is what? The goal is to attain Krishna. Yes, purification is the path, but there is a turn, a small turn to go to the spiritual realm. And that turn is that eagerness. Only eagerness to attain Krishna leads us to the path of purity. Not purity itself. If there is no eagerness, even if you are on the path of purity, even if you follow that path, you may be conditioned by the conception of purity itself and not attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the problem with the people who are in the tapalok, because everything is so clean. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes, some people have this phobia of cleanliness. Even sometimes those who are worshipping the deities, those who are doing yajna, more than the principle of pleasing the Supreme Lord, they fall into the concept of, you know, keeping everything pure. And because of that, they are so conditioned of the purity, the pure person Krishna is forgotten. Therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness goes beyond purity and contamination. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was trying to visit Vrindavan Dham, you know, the king of the Odisha, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, was arranging different facilities. He had sent one of his secretary with Lord Chaitanya. And the secretary Mahapatra came to know that the governor of one area, he was a Muslim, he sent one of his spy to see the activities of Lord Chaitanya. And this spy came, he saw Mahaprabhu along with his followers performing huge Harinam. And this Muslim spy became so much influenced by Lord Chaitanya's beauty. He came back to the governor and he said, "My dear Lord," he said, "this sannyasi is so powerful. He looks so beautiful. He is always chanting the names of the Lord." Simply by hearing about Mahaprabhu, this Muslim governor developed strong eagerness. He became so eager, and that was his main qualification. He said, "I want to meet this sannyasi." So again he sent back his secretary to the secretary of Lord Chaitanya, that was Mahapatra at that time. He said, "I want to see Lord Chaitanya." And Mahapatra became very scared. He said, this governor is always drunk 24 hours. Where is the purification? Where is the pure existence? And because he is a cow eater, he hates the Hindu religion. So he might harm Lord Chaitanya. So he was not very much inclined that this governor comes and meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was insisting, the secretary was insisting that he wants to meet Lord Chaitanya. Then Mahaprabhu said, okay, when he comes along with his followers, only 4 or 5 people can come. And he should not carry any weapons. As a governor, you know, controlled from an army point of view, he said, he should not bring any weapons. He can come without any weapons and meet Lord Chaitanya. And the spy, the secretary agreed, he went back. And the Mohammedan governor came to meet Lord Chaitanya. He disguised himself as a Hindu. He was dressed as a Hindu. And when he came to Lord Chaitanya, he immediately offered his obeisances. And he said, my dear Lord Gauranga, I know that you are the Supreme Lord. But I am disqualified to be with you. Why? Because I am born in a low family where many cows are being slaughtered. I have done so many sinful activities and I am willing to quit my body so that I can be born in the family where I can associate with you. So the contamination was there, and that contamination would have never been purified if he had just tried on his own. But somehow that eagerness came in his mind, and because of that eagerness he transcended the contamination and even the purity. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with this governor. And Mahapatra, seeing his transformation, he quoted the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam wherein Devahuti is speaking about the process of devotional service. He said, my dear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, even if somebody is born, Shaddopi Shadda Shavanaya Kalpate, that even if somebody is born in the most abominable family of the Chandalas, the dog eaters, just see the power. Why? Because he has seen you and he has chanted your name, now is completely qualified to perform all kinds of yajnas. In fact, Sridhar Swami explained what to speak of simply performing yajnas. Such a person, one who is a devotee of the Lord, transformed instantly, not only is qualified to perform yajna. Sometime, those who are not having complete faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, they take this verse and they say, Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, that sometime there is an argument. The argument is that even if you are born in a Brahman family, still you have to wait till you get the samskaras to perform yajnas. If you have not completed the thread samskaras, then you cannot perform yajna. So that means the eligibility is there, the qualification is there, but because you have not gone through the process of the Brahmin thread, you cannot perform yajna. So similarly they say, even though yes, holy name purifies you completely, but still you have to have a birth in the Brahmana family so that you can perform yajna. But Sridhar Goswami says, the original commentator, no, it is not right. Immediately, he is not like that a Brahmana boy. In fact, immediately he can perform yajna. What to speak of performing yajna? Such a person, he becomes pujyatvam. He becomes so qualified that one has to worship such personality. That is the power of devotional service. That not only is qualified, but he is worshipped by everybody else, even the high class brahmanas. So that is the power of devotional service. Not only one becomes pure, but he goes beyond the principle of purity. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he said, how do you attain Krishna? You don't attain Krishna simply because, you know, you are pure. You don't attain Krishna because you are born in a high family. It says you can only attain Krishna if you have the eagerness to attain Krishna. Then it doesn't matter what is your contamination, what body you have, what kind of background you have, it doesn't matter. Only if you have the principle of wanting to attain Krishna, that is the only qualification. And Rupa Goswami qualifies. Somebody might say, no, I am born in a pious family, therefore I am qualified. Rupa Goswami says, no, even if you have a piety of what? Janma koti sukrutirna labhyate. Even if you have the piety of millions of lifetimes, still you don't become qualified to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only if you have that desire, that I want Krishna, then only you can attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore the process of devotional service is not simply the mechanical process of chanting. It is not the process of, you know, hearing mechanically. It is not the process of mechanically trying to remember Krishna. It is one thing that one can remember on the mental level. We can force ourselves to remember. Yeah, sadhana bhakti involves that. But it is much beyond. Because sadhana bhakti does not give rise to eagerness. Of course, Jiva Goswami says, but one should continue to perform sadhana bhakti. And suddenly, because you are doing it, it will give rise to eagerness or that desire to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though independently sadhana bhakti cannot provide it. But because you have this body, you have to engage in the service of the Lord. And suddenly at the point of time, at some point of time, that eagerness will develop. Otherwise, as long as that eagerness is not there, we don't attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, all this complex philosophy, one might become expert in understanding it and explaining it. But still, the desire to attain Krishna is not there, then what will happen? He will not attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Narad Muni ultimately is giving the process. He told Prachini Bharishad, what will give you Krishna? You go on hearing about Krishna. When you go on hearing about Krishna, this process of hearing, chanting, worshipping the deities, visiting the holy place, these are on the platform of Bhava Bhakti, which is done on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. But then it is also given to the sadhakas. One time Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was explaining that whatever sadhana we perform, it is not independently capable of giving us Krishna Prem. But these are the activities of loving devotees of the Lord, which they do it very spontaneously. All these activities are done spontaneously by them. And all the great acharyas, like Rupa Goswami, they have taken note of these activities. Just like a son imitates his father. You know, he wears the doctor's coat, then he has his instruments, and he tries to work on some of his friends, even though it has no value. But when he keeps doing it, he develops spontaneous eagerness, even I want to become a doctor. And when he develops that eagerness, then he puts all that hard work. If that eagerness is not there, simply hard work is there, even if he reads or studies for 10 to 12 hours, because of lack of eagerness, nothing goes inside the head. And if there is an eagerness, whatever he studies, everything sticks. And then eventually, he becomes the doctor. So similarly, with devotional service, what does it happen? That when we develop eagerness to attain Krishna, only on that level, then the process becomes very strong. The process has some meaning. The process becomes very influencing our, it influences our consciousness. And then we can desire to go back to the spiritual realm. So therefore, either it is to Prachini Bharishad, or either it is to Mrigari, or either it is to Valmiki, or even to Dhruva Maharaj, or even to Prahlad Maharaj, Narad Muni speaks the philosophy, but the process, whatever he awards, is the same for everyone. The process is of practicing devotional service. He does not change the process. He may preach it in a different way. Unfortunately, when we do preach Krishna consciousness to others, yes, one can change the, you know, style of preaching based upon a different person. But we can't change the process. If we hide the process of giving Krishna consciousness, thinking that it is a different place, different time, different circumstances, the person will not be purified. And at the same time, because we are not giving the process of Krishna consciousness, the contamination also will be transformed to us. So therefore, the process has to be given. There is no choice of not giving the process. One has to offer the process of chanting the holy name. One has to offer the process of giving Krishna prasad. Yeah, one can change the tactics of preaching, but one cannot change the process. Therefore, we see Narad Muni. He is giving the process of Krishna consciousness equally to everyone, even to King Prachini Varishad, Prahlad Maharaj and Narad Muni and everybody else. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada also, when he went, he didn't compromise with the process. One time one yogi came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, when I came to the West, I knew that devotional service is the pure principle. But seeing that these people will not accept Krishna consciousness, I teach them some yoga. I teach them some kind of, you know, mechanical process. But I know devotional service is the highest. But you, Swamiji, you know, it is quite amazing that not only you gave direct process, but you have got many followers also. He was praising Prabhupada at least for 5 minutes. And then Prabhupada, you know, usually he would say, thank you very much for your nice encouragement. He shot back at him. He said, why are you cheating then your students? Why don't you give them the highest process? Why are you compromising? How did he compromise? With the intention of, okay, eventually I will give them. But he would not give eventually. Why? He himself lacked the faith of the power of devotional service. Even though he said, I know that this is what I am supposed to give, but I thought, okay, let me give like this. So the Prabhupada chastised him. He said, why are you cheating them? Why don't you give them the pure process of Krishna consciousness? Because no other process can purify. In fact, there is always a danger of that process itself contaminating one's practice. Even the teacher who knew about the philosophy, he was compromising in his own life. Thinking that, no, they will not accept. And that affected in his own life also. He gave more importance to practicing Ashtanga Yoga rather than practicing devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada was very clear. Yes, even though he presented devotional service in the Western world according to time, place, circumstances, but with the process, the powerful process of chanting the holy name, giving the process of devotional service, he did not compromise with that. He gave that as it is, without any change. Principles cannot be changed. Details can be changed. Therefore, sometimes we see, as Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj once I am mentioning, that we can conduct many seminars. But in all the seminars, if some other the holy name is not presented, the process of devotional service is not presented, then what will happen? Then our seminar is waste. It is nothing but a prajalpa. Because we presented according to time, place, circumstances, but if we don't give the holy name, then it is all waste. So this is how, you know, the great acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, even though apparently he not compromised, but gave the process in a different way, but he gave the process. And that is the art of preaching. And that is what Shripad Narad Muni is doing. He is not only preaching Prachini Birushat according to his complex mind, unlike to Mrigahari and others, but he was not making a mistake of not giving the process of devotional service. He gave the pure process of devotional service even to this complex king, even to the simple, but at the same time very gross, sinful Mrigahari, or to Dhruva Maharaj who was the son of a king, or to the Prahlad Maharaj who was the son of a demon. Everybody received the same process of devotional service. Only on that level they got completely purified. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, to overcome the influence of the mind and the gross body, no other process can work. No mechanical process can work. Only when we practice devotional service, then we can transcend. And we can only practice devotional service. We come with different motivation to devotional service in the beginning. Because we want peace, because we want happiness. You know, it's all me. But then after hearing from authorized devotee, we have to change it. And we have to try to develop that eagerness to attain Krishna, because that is the only goal. When we change our motivations along with the need of devotional service, then we become intense in desire to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the process also becomes intensified. Otherwise, the mechanical process, Kaviraj Goswami explains, that even if you perform Shravan Kirtan Bahu Janma, he said, even if you perform it for many lifetime, still the Krishna Prem will not develop. And again, we will not have the intensity to perform also. One may maintain the purity because he has practiced, as Jayadvaita Maharaj once he was mentioning, even the fallen Hare Krishna devotees are better vegetarian. They may not eat meat, they may not drink wine. But they are fallen, they are not practicing devotional service. But that is not the point. You may maintain the external purity, but because you are given up Krishna consciousness, it's a failure. But if you continue to practice devotional service, even in the contaminated stage, like Prabhupada told one devotee, that you are going to fall down, you are going to engage in all kinds of abominable activities. He was predicting his future. But he said, don't give up chanting Hare Krishna. Whatever happens, he said, even if you fall down to lowest kind of activities, which you are going to do, but don't give up chanting Hare Krishna. And same thing happened, that this person fell to all kinds of abominable activities, but he would chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. He continued the process of devotional service. And because of that, he again came back to practice devotional service. Sometimes we fall in the trap of becoming very pure. I want to become so pure, pure on the mental platform, pure on the physical platform. But the material nature is so powerful, it's like a volcano, it's like a hurricane. And she will bring some contamination. And when she brings the contamination in our so-called pure stage, there is a lot of frustration. What is this? I tried so much not to become Krishna conscious but to become pure. We fail our goal. And because of that frustration, you know, people give up chanting Hare Krishna. They stop practicing the process of devotional service. So who is better? The person is so contaminated but he continues to chant Hare Krishna. He is much better than one who falls to the trap of becoming so pure, and when the contamination comes because of frustration, he gives up the process of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, especially in this age of Kali, when we practice devotional service, we should know that we will be affected by so many contaminations. It is unavoidable. But if we keep chanting Hare Krishna, and in fact this Kali Yuga influences with the process of devotional service makes us intense to attain the spiritual platform, that I want to go to the spiritual abode of Krishna Loka. So this fight between the contamination and the process of Krishna consciousness, which makes us aware that I cannot be freed from the contamination here, so better I try to go back to the spiritual world. And on that platform, as Prabhupada mentions, there is no influence either on the mind, which is the subtle body, neither on the physical body, on the gross level. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you mentioned that this principle of use and throw. Now, I was wondering what is its application for a sadhaka, devotee, in devotional service?
Yeah, we can use the philosophy of Yukta Vairagya, being practical. But when we fall into that same trap, we should know that we are also sadhakas. We also have got conditioning. Depending upon what kind of culture you develop in your life, it affects our consciousness, even as a practicing devotee of the Lord. We can't avoid it. So therefore, one has to be careful with the whole principle what Prabhupada was teaching us. You know, simple living, high thinking includes that utilizing a thing, you know, for its highest utility. Not that, you know, you fall into this. Therefore, Prabhupada would always chastise when devotees would change the flowers within one day in his room. He said, what is this? You Americans, you know, you keep changing everything so fast. And then that also, like our Parikshit Prabhu was saying, then you also try with the process of devotional service also. One guru, then another guru, then third guru, then one book, then second book. You know, use that, then change it. There is no steadiness. So that also affects our spiritual practices. You know, like our Madan Gopal Prabhu, when he came from his home, he had one chadar and still is there with him since last 10-12 years. So that same mentality can be applied. Okay, I've taken this process, like Jananyas Prabhu said. When he came, he said, let me try. If it works, and I will stick to it. And whatever difficulties come. And in the beginning, you get that experience of devotional service. And it stuck to him. He was so influenced. And then whatever happened in his life, what he has seen, being in Mayapur, all kinds of difficulties and troubles, but he said, okay, I've taken it, no more changing. Of course, you know, he's also knowledgeable, experienced the power of devotional service, but at the same time, whenever there were so many external difficulties, he didn't go to the, you know, the influence of, okay, now, why not change one more. Therefore, especially as the practitioners of Krishna consciousness, at least we have to, you know, like our dress. You don't use, okay, today saffron, tomorrow green, day after tomorrow blue. You have to, you are forced to do like that. So similarly, even for the practicing devotees who are householders, you know, not that hundreds of varieties means restless mind. You keep changing every other day. So similarly, that affects our whole existence. So therefore, to as much as to avoid that principle would be very effective in our life to practice the culture of Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is not simply a, Prabhupada said, it is not a simply a religious process, but it is a cultural process. And if you have that culture, then like, you know, when you say, I want water, water doesn't come without a glass. If there is a water, even the glass has to be there. So similarly, you know, if you say, I want the process of Krishna consciousness, along with that comes the culture also. And if there is a big contrast between your lifestyle and the process, there will always be a difficulty in practicing devotional service. You will not enjoy it. Therefore, the culture will also come along with the practice of devotional service. Otherwise, it will be contrast. You will not be able to reconcile. You know, I am doing one thing, but the practice requires another thing. But then, even Prabhupada explains that certain things we cannot introduce. So, therefore, the power of holy name is so great. Even if you are using and throwing, but chant Hare Krishna. But the problem is that you fall into the trap of chanting and not chanting also. That again, the principle of using and throw. it makes much easier if you follow the Vedic culture to practice devotional service. It becomes very easy to practice. Your lifestyle becomes simple, your necessities become simple. So naturally, the practice becomes much easier. The whole process of Vedic culture, you know, we have discussed this many times. You know, tap water, what is it? You have to depend on the electricity. Tap water, you have to depend on the government. So what you are doing is that, unconsciously, you are depending on so many factors and forgetting your inherent nature of depending upon God. When people say, I don't have a time, means what? They have already doubted the propensity of depending on Krishna to so many other things. So how can you ever depend on Krishna? So living in the farm, which Prabhupada wanted to introduce, this means what? Well is there. So you don't depend on the tap water. The moon is there, clear moon is there. You don't depend on electricity. So your dependence on the external object is so much minimized, then naturally depend on Krishna. It's spontaneous. Because that principle is there. All of these characters, depending on Krishna, you know, performing charity, performing tapasya, all these principles are there. One philosopher says, people live a poverty-stricken life. One, the businessmen in the big cities, they live a poverty-stricken life for what? To make money. The goal is to make money, but they don't mind eating once a day. Or Gaurvankar was explaining when, you know, in working in Singapore. You know, many of his friends, because the project is there, you take a sandwich and take little dry fruits and drink some, you know, soft drinks or liquor. Very little. Austerity. Not full stomach also. And work 16 hours, 18 hours. One devotee was saying, because of that background, he said, still after coming to the temple, so he can't sleep. The nishachar mood is still there. Being awake in the late night. So whole cycle is disturbed. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is to create back that revolutionary culture. And if we don't live that, yeah, we can chant Hare Krishna and change our life, but how do you preach outsiders? So therefore, it has to be a balanced, that we try to bring back to our original culture, and then Krishna consciousness becomes natural. Yes, Krishna Prabhu.
Prabhuji, you are giving this example of how Srila Prabhupada, when he came across a yogi, he told him, why don't you give that pure philosophy, and he chastised him. So we see sometimes we come, in the course of our preaching, we come across people who don't have any real conception about spiritual life, but then they think that Mayavad, whatever they know about Mayavad philosophy is, whatever little bit they know is the correct thing, whatever they are doing. And then they come into contact with devotees, they associate with devotees, they come for programs, 6 months, 1 year down the line. And then afterwards when you start talking to them, you find that they are still having their old Mayavad concepts, very strongly rooted. Now a doubt comes in our mind whether we should allow the process of devotional service itself to act on them and then remove that Mayavad, whatever contamination is there. Or each time when they express their Mayavad inclination, we should smash them and say, no, what you're, you know, that. Because 1 year they're already into devotional service, associating with devotees, attending programs, coming for temple, and but still that conditioning is there. So you're always in a quandary. Should we just allow him to speak whatever he wants and hope that devotional service will take care of it? Or at each stage you just, you know, tell him that, no, this philosophy, what you're propagating or talking is not proper.
Therefore, first, you don't give him a chance to speak in publicly. You should never be given a chance to speak. And then when you have the chance to speak, you speak the clear concept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, you know, the Mayavad philosophy is demonic. So you are not pinpointing directly to him. You are making a point. And then when you see that, you know, there is no change. And then whenever there is an open conversation with him, at some point of time, best is to do in the beginning, but because we don't have ourselves conviction, the problem with us, there is no wrong in presenting the philosophy. It all depends upon one's conviction. Based upon that conviction, you know, either be strong and present the philosophy, at the same time not hurting the person himself. You can snatch the philosophy that is there. So therefore, you know, some other we should not allow them to speak, to contaminate others. And you speak the clear philosophy, and when there is a personal conversation, you know, start making the point very clear that you are leading you are heading towards a very destructive kind of spiritual practices. And if whatever is helpful, like one time, you know, Radhanand Maharaj is mentioning, sometime you may have to chastise, you may have to neglect, you may have to preach. Everything should be done to change a person. You can't avoid. And negligence also may have to be done. Because after preaching, after chastising, still if the person is not changing, then the best course of action is to neglect. Comment.
About this use and throw. Once Srila Prabhupada said, I don't want to get in picture any devotee. One devotee was singing kirtan, and then he was changing the tune of mantra every two mantras. So Prabhupada just commented, tell him to stop like that. He doesn't have any taste for holy names. So mind goes on like new tune. Like Malati Mataji or somebody was in Pune, they were telling that previously we had kirtans. We would take one tune and slowly for a long time go on increasing the tempo. So that tendency comes in. Or sometimes I see in devotees, they say that, oh, no, whatever Prabhupada spoke, but the idea should also be there that we should hear that, we have everything, whatever Prabhupada spoke, we should hear and also try to digest it. We don't see it previously, like the point is sometimes lost. I don't say it is completely useless, but the main point is to understand whatever has been spoken rather than the devotee is concentrated, I have whatever this spoke, I have all the books, I have all this, I have all that, and then they forget the essence of even understanding one shloka which can perfect our life. You are understanding one shloka can perfect our life. And then we keep on new tunes like Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.